Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
We all love going to the zoo. In fact, Mandai is where the Singapore Zoo is. Not only that, they've got the night safari as well and the river safari.
Yeah, I did one of these sort of pub quiz things once.
Oh.
And when the zoo actually opened came up as one of the questions. I failed miserably. Anyway, recently there's been a lot of hype about the transformation of the Mandai area of Singapore into an ecotourism hub. And Mandai Park Development is the company behind the new bird park set to open later this year. And of course, a new rainforest eco resort, which will be open to the public in 2023.
Why go to Africa when you can go to Mandai?
Yeah.
Future guests will be able to sleep in tree houses in the shape of seed pods, and you'll be able to participate in behind the scenes activities where they can work with keepers and learn about the animals. So it sounds incredible, really, if you're one of those animal and nature lovers.
Yeah. Actually, the kids at school,
yeah,
they go and they stay at the zoo. They do sleepovers at the zoo.
Really?
Yes, you can do that. They organise them for schools in Singapore. It's great. Although during construction, Mandai Park Development faced a period of scrutiny due to several high-profile incidents of wild animals that had been killed by vehicles in the area. That's really sad. But our next guest made sure that this did not continue.
Amazing woman. Her work resulted in, among other things, a new wildlife bridge across Mandai Lake Road to facilitate animal crossings. She's also in charge of sustainability strategy for both Wildlife Reserves Singapore and Mandai Park. And she's on the line with us this morning on our Sustainable Singapore series. Hui Mian Lee, Vice President, Team Lead Sustainable Solutions at Mandai Park Development. She's going to be talking about their sustainability practices. Hui Mian, good morning and thanks for taking the time.
Hi, good morning.
And we're really grateful for everything that you've done there because we all love the zoo. We love animals. You've worked in the sustainability field for a while, in fact. Is it easier going green when you work for an eco park?
I have to say that thank you for the support for the zoo. I would say that sustainability work around in different organizations, they are more or less the same. I think what's really different in Mandai is the fact that as a conservation organization, as a wildlife organization, it gives us a lot more to talk about, a more compelling narrative. And when it comes to storytelling that links back to wildlife, it's like completing a full circle by linking it back to nature. So, for example, in the past, I would always talk about resource depletion in general. But by being in a conservation organization like Mandai, you actually could allow people to understand how it all links up, right? Whatever we do has an indirect cause back to wildlife through the fact that it will link to deforestation. It's resulting in loss of biodiversity, which essentially it's the heart of what is very close to our organization, wildlife. So I would say that it's different. As a conservation organization, at the core of what we do, it's all about conservation and sustainability. So in terms of like culture and the DNA within the organization, we do have a lot of support within the organization.
Yeah, Hui Mian, just in terms of the structure that you work to, part of your sustainability strategy is to look into the four key pillars that are also aligned to 6 out of the 17 UN Sustainable Development Goals. Can you share a little bit more about that and how you integrate them into daily working life?
So I think the four pillars, namely, which is resource optimization, biodiversity protection, integration with surrounding and sustainability advocacy, they are relevant to various departments of the organization. So what we do is, in terms of, we looked at Mandai as an organization, given a mission and what we strive to achieve, what's our target and hence for the framework. With that, my team will go out and work with the various departments to look at how can each of them in their daily work supports whatever targets or ambition that we have within the organization. So it's a little bit of not us doing the work alone, but more like we go out and then we talk to the various departments saying that, look, this is our sustainability strategy. Can we then look at whatever you're doing now, just with a bit of changes? We're not asking you to do additional work, but more like when whatever you're doing now, let's relook and see if we could inject some of more sustainable practices in it. So I always tell people that by asking you to do sustainability work, I'm not asking you to do more than 100%, but more like within the 100% that you're doing now, can we look at converting 20-30% into more sustainable practices?
Right.
So that would actually be something that we try to drive within the organization. There will be, for example, training within the organization. How do we then talk about, out of the training that we provide, we would say that, you know, 10-20% does include sustainability training to allow people who might not know about sustainability before they join Mandai to really know what does the organization stand for when it comes to conservation and sustainability when they join Mandai. That's always been how we've been telling people. And I think that's essentially how we run it. For the new parks itself, what we have done, it's right from the onset, sustainability is one of the guiding principles when it comes to building the new parks and the new area, redeveloping Mandai. So with that rejuvenation, with that in mind, we have started to plan in earlier, like a lot of the sustainability initiative from an infrastructure perspective that has also gave a thought about how are we going to operate and have we built certain infrastructure that will actually facilitate better programming in the future. So those are various stuff that we have taken care of within the planning and development of the parks.
Hui Min, just to continue on this track of sustainability, I understand in 2016, Mandai Park actually removed 80% of single-use plastic.
Yes.
I'd like you to share on some of the alternatives and the effect that's had so far. Another big thing when it comes to these parks is sustainable transport. Have you guys done something in terms of getting around the park?
So we'll start about plastic first.
Sure,
yes,
sure.
In 2016, we made a bold step to say that, you know, we would actually remove plastic bottles. And I think with that, we've seen a reduction of over 15 tons of plastic that's been avoided. We had, at the same time, understand that water is essential. At our park, we need to keep people hydrated. So we've installed 27 water dispensers that would do encourage people to start using their reusable bottle. And if you don't have one yet, we do have different kinds of bottles in the park available for sale to really hope that people start that practices of using reusable bottle. And I think at the same time, we've also removed plastic bags, replaced plastic bags with non-woven bags. I think what we have done in the last 2 years is also, we're part of the PAC initiative that WWF is running that's against plastic out. And at the same time, when we looked at all the various initiatives, not just by doing that, I do see our colleagues in the park, them being very conscious as well. So that itself set us up for a lot of more initiatives that we can actually continue with, being able to allow people to understand and see the effect of one action, what's the impact of one action or one changes that we've made.
Yeah, Hui Min, I think one of the things that people have seen is this Mandai Wildlife Bridge on either side of Mandai Lake Road. This was sadly after a number of animal deaths. Since its completion in December 2019, what impact has the bridge had?
So we're happy to share that we've actually seen animal crossing, and we do see an increased activities in terms of animals crossing the bridge. So some of the species that know they are quite active around the area, they are using the bridge. So we are quite happy that the bridge does serve the purpose that we would like it to serve.
Can I just ask, as a quick follow-up, when you decided that the bridge needed to be built, was it a smooth process? You know, I get the impression that, you know, you can only implement policies where you have that smooth process in place. What was your experience like getting it done?
I think the Wildlife Bridge has already been part of the development from the onset of the development. So at the very onset, when we started to look at the rejuvenation of Mandai project, the Wildlife Bridge is actually one of the earlier features that has been decided that we will build a wildlife bridge across Mandai Lake Road. So in that sense, as an organization, as a project, we've set aside to say that this is something that we're going to do. And then the rest, I think it's with any usual development you would have. Once you have what you wanted to build, then you need the various portions to come in. You need your architects to come in. You need your engineers to come in. You need the civil engineers to look at the structure and how are we going to build it across. I think one of the things that we've actually taken care of is we've tried to build the bridge with as minimal earthwork as possible within the area. So we've actually looked at the topography of the area, and then we see how can we sort of design the bridge in a way that would suit the topography. It's actually not a flat ground, but we design along it so that it would be something that's a bit more natural, that following the movement of the animal, they will be more likely to use. So other things are like at the end of the both bridge, it's actually funneled. So we actually funneled it out, so with that intention of sort of inviting the wildlife to come in. So there was a lot of thoughts that has been put in once we started the project to say that we were going to design and build a wildlife bridge. And of course, building in an environment like Mandai can be quite challenging with, in the sense that we want to be really sensitive and careful with the environment. So until the bridge, when it's built. Yeah, there were a lot of complexity involved, which I'm happy that together with our colleagues and everyone, our stakeholders, we've managed to now have a really effective bridge that the animals, that we are seeing more animals using as the time goes by. So today we're like in the third month into operations.
Yeah, it can be challenging building these things. Just like how the Mandai Eco Park is going to be completed in about 3 hours. I can imagine it takes longer to get such things done. But I'm very excited about this. What can some of the guests look forward to when it opens in 3 years' time?
Yes, now with the wildlife bridge, which is the first feature to be opened, and then subsequently we will have all the various features. We would, of course, you've heard about a new bird park in Mandai. And then we are going to also have a rainforest park, that would really talks about the various features of how a rainforest is. We would, like you said, Waco Resort, the Mandai Resort, which has been announced last year. And on top of that, I think we would also have two public nodes that would allow locals, tourists, just to come by and enjoy the area. And finally, we also would have a boardwalk where people could actually stroll by the reservoir.
Oh, I'm so excited for this. Why can't time pass a lot faster? Huimian Lee, Vice President, Team Lead Sustainable Solutions at Mandai Park Development. Huimian, thank you so much for your time
this
morning.
Thank you so much for having me here. Thanks.
The Breakfast Huddle Sustainable Singapore series, written and produced by Rianne Lovell-Bowling.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.